I wonder what Shad Khan is saying right now. If I was Shad Khan, what would I say to Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone about how they could fix this problem and move forward? This is Tony Wiggins with your Locked On Jaguars report today. I'd love to be a fly on the wall for that conversation, folks. I mean, what do you do? And I'm interested to see what the answer would be. Okay, if you trade Jalen Ramsey and you get multiple picks, what do you do going forward? You hope to get Nick Foles back. You hope Gardner Minshew continues to develop. How are you going to fix the team? How are you going to get back to being competitive right now at 0-2 and then move forward for the years to come? Do you have the right coach? Do you have the right general manager and scouting staff? All those questions are questions that I'd ask if I was Shad Khan, and we don't need to hear from him in public, but boy, 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 do I think that conversation needs to be had right now with what's going on with the Jacksonville Jaguars. I mean, these are a lot of questions that need to be answered, and I think it's complex. So, you know, when I was sitting there thinking about how do we follow up with this Jalen Ramsey stuff without beating a dead horse or without being redundant, one of the things that I came up with is ain't nothing new under the sun. And I'm a firm believer in that everything we're seeing right now is a rewind, maybe not here in Jacksonville, but it's certainly a rewind in terms of how people have exercised their power and how a coaching staff and a locker room or whatever has decided that the talent is no longer worth the energy being put into, some people call it babysitting or kissing his butt, but Jalen Ramsey reminds me of this, and this is an analogy, and it's not good, bad, right, or wrong, but Jalen Ramsey reminds me of, let's just say we're all at pet day, meet and greet pet day, okay? We all take our dogs and they hang out in the park and we meet and greet and the dogs get to know each other, right? And all of a sudden, this pit bull, this ferocious-looking pit bull shows up, and you don't know whose dog it is, and the owner's not with him. And then he mixes in and blends in and eats out of the bowls and drinks the water of the other dogs. And then when he starts to wander off to do his own thing on the side, all of your pets go with him. It's like you lose control because they all gravitate towards the alpha amongst them. And to me, that's kind of what this reminds me of. The coaching staff, I saw the press conference yesterday. I did not go. I couldn't make it. But I think my man Demetrius was there with Locked On Jaguars. And the coaching staff, they had players, and it was odd because I've been to several press conferences. But the odd part about this is supposedly a press conference from Jalen Ramsey, and then your team captain from defense, Miles Jack, comes, Josh Robinson comes, and the way that they stood there, it's like they were in support of whatever he said. So then I saw some of the locker room interviews from guys like Yannick Ngakoue and Jared Wilson and other guys when they spoke, and they spoke glowingly of Jalen Ramsey. They even used, I heard love. I heard that one. I heard somebody say, I think it was Jared Wilson, that says, we've grown so close since I've been here, and call him a brother and love. And I recall before Dante Fowler was traded, when we were doing a locker room interview after a game with Jalen Ramsey, he turned and looked at Dante and said, I love you, Tay. Dante said, I love you back. So let's not mistake when we say locker room problem, and I'm as guilty of this than anybody, let's not mistake the locker room problem of this team being like, okay, the locker room's divided because some people don't like this guy. No, they all love each other. I think when they say a locker room problem is, it's almost like he has too much power. It's almost as if they're going to follow him and they're going to be loyal to him, and he doesn't act the way you think he should act. You don't act the way I think a lot of people. I wouldn't act that way. If it was me, would I do it? No, I probably, with my personality, I'd probably be more like Calais Campbell. But we're going to get into that, too. When I say there's nothing new under the sun, first time a player's been this way. It isn't. It just seems that way. And when things go bad and when the team's not winning, this is how it always ends up. Example. I'll give you a perfect example. I've seen a lot of guys on social media, especially former players, mentioning very classy, quiet type guys that they played with that were great players that played the game and conducted themselves, look like gentlemen, and were able to get away with that. I get it. Fine. But for every great guy that conducts himself properly, like, let me give you an example. Emmitt Smith, all-time leading rusher, three-time Super Bowl champion, great guy on and off the field. Yeah, he got a teammate like Michael Irvin, and then he got a teammate like Charles Haley. By the way, when Emmitt Smith was holding out for money, it was Charles Haley that threw his helmet and cursed at the owner, Jerry Jones, and told him, you need to give him his money and bring him in here. So that being said, there's more than one way to skin a cat, all right? So, you know, it just comes down to, do you think it's worth it moving forward? The big question that you have to ask, and this is, you know, sure, the press conference that Jalen had yesterday, if you want to call it that, it was the weirdest one I've ever seen, where he really didn't say anything. He just kind of cursed and went about it, you know, like, I just want to be a good teammate and this, that, and the third. And so, you know, you're like, whatever, man, you know, cool. If that's the way you want to play it. And I know it's hard to call something a press conference when you don't really get any information. And it's hard to imagine someone actually calling a press conference when they don't really say anything. But maybe that's what he wanted to do. Once again, would I handle it that way? Nope. That's just not my style. But it doesn't mean that what's right for me is right for him, or what's right for him is right for me or anybody else. You handle things differently. Everybody does. I get bogged down with this thought that football is the most gladiator sport that we have that's not a fight sport. And these guys are big, strong. Most of them are yoked in a funny way. You almost have to be to have a car wreck every 10 seconds or every 30 seconds. You got to be yoked and built a certain way, which is why I admire guys like that. I also admire a lot of other professions and things where I know it's something that the faint of heart can't do. I mean, it's like I can't be a football player if I just wanted to. And I'm going to talk about this a little bit more. And we're going to get into that and get this meat off the bone. One of the reasons I could be a good football player is because I have a hard time staying in shape sometimes. So look, if you can't find a workout that keeps you engaged, think about Peloton. That's right. And what it is immersive cardio experience with real-time features that always keeps you coming back. You can get $100 off accessories when you purchase the Peloton bike and get a great cardio workout at home. That's right. Go to Peloton.com. That's Peloton.com and use the promo code LOCKED to get started. We're going to talk about more of this stuff in just a second. All right, welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. It's Tony Wiggins. Weird things happening around here. Weird stuff going on in the land of Jacksonville. There's a game Thursday. There's a game Thursday night, a nationally televised game against the rival Tennessee Titans here at TIA Bank Field. And a good thing, too, I'm just mentioning this. Good thing for the fans, they don't have to endure the heat. The first game against Kansas City was hot. And then it got even more miserable because it was hot and the Jaguars got down early. Patrick Mahomes had 300 yards in the first half. Better showing by the defense last week against another explosive offense in Houston, where the Jaguars played better defensively but didn't muster anything offensively until late in the game, but it was too little too late, and they lost 13-12. So they're 0-2, looking to not go 0-3, and they have all of this drama going on between Jalen and the front office. I'm a person that respects authority, all right? I'm just kind of yoked like that. And I'm a person that also has the – it's just in me, it's ingrained in me that what I also do is if I have a problem with authority, I'll go and be civil and sit and talk to them. I've also been criticized for being a guy who rides the fence too much and not being forceful and hard. But it's just not my way. So when you find somebody who is their way, I can't knock them for being who they are, because That's just, because it's different for me, because it's not the way I would handle things. So, when I put out all of these tweets and folks misconstrue or misunderstand exactly what it is I'm trying to say. So let me break it down for you. Two of the greatest coaches I've ever seen, three of them, Jimmy Johnson, Bill Walsh, and Bill Parcells. They put up with I'll even throw Joe Gibbs in there for the Redskins. All right. Now, combined, I believe that's three and two, whatever that comes out to be, 11, that's 11 Super Bowls. By the way, and they won those Super Bowls in about a 13-year period when the NFC dominated things in the 80s and the 90s. They all handled things a different way. Joe Gibbs had to deal with Dexter Manley and John Riggins. If you think guys like Jalen Ramsey are outspoken, what about John Riggins? Okay, the difference is there wasn't any social media where everybody wants to be a psychologist or a journalist, and everybody has to give this hot take. So when old school guys tell me, or I hear old school guys say it wasn't this way, you kidding me? You act like I'm going to just forget John Riggins and Dexter Manley, and I'm going to just forget Lyle Alzado. And by the way, remember I said about how teammates do things differently? Daryl Green had never said a cuss word in his life, man. Devout Christian, kept his body in shape, and he found a way to be teammates with John Riggins. And Joe Gibbs found a way to coach them all. For every Jerry Rice or Joe Montana Bill Walsh had, he also had Charles Haley and Ricky Waters. All right? Yeah, it's like, are you kidding me? Like, ain't nothing new under the sun. Coach has been dealing with people like this forever. You know, I mentioned Emmitt Smith and his class and the way that he conducted. Troy Aikman, who was a quiet, stone-faced leader of that team. Yeah, he had Michael Irvin and he had Charles Haley. They coexisted. It happens. And I'm not just talking about Michael Irvin, who had substance abuse problems. I'm talking about Michael Irvin, who was a firecracker, who was always yapping his mouth. That's the Michael Irvin I'm talking about. And throw in the fact that he had issues and kept getting arrested for drugs. It doesn't mean that what I'm saying is just because those guys did it, you did it too. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is let's stop acting like dealing with a diva is something new. Let's stop acting like this is all. Oh, he's by far the worst guy I've ever seen. No, he's not. He ain't even close. Lawrence Taylor, and I know what people are going to say when I say this. You had Parcells, Bill Belichick, and Tom Coughlin all on one staff, and they put up with Lawrence Taylor's foolishness. Now, the first thing people are going to say is Jalen Ramsey ain't Lawrence Taylor. No, he's not. His story isn't finished yet. But Lawrence Taylor, after two or three years in the league, wasn't Lawrence Taylor either. But they put up with it. I'm not talking about in retrospect from like, okay, well, they put up with the greatest defensive player of all time and maybe the greatest pure football player of all time. No, I'm talking about it from the point of when he started that foolishness. He was a young guy when he did that. Just like Jalen Ramsey is now. But somehow they put up with it. And you say, oh, Wig, all he did was do drugs. He didn't hurt nobody else. Crap. Go find out what he really did. Going to sleeping meetings, had his eyes closed, snoring in team meetings, not necessarily showing up on time, treating people funny. He was high. What do you think he did? You think he just did drugs in his spare time? Dude was probably high during the games. He talked. Go back and look at NFL films. Ain't none of this stuff new. Ain't none of this stuff new. And I'm not trying to desensitize anybody to anything, but all I'm trying to do is just show you. Ain't none of this new under the sun. But in this day of social media where everybody has to tweet consciousness, it feels like what everybody's saying is like, this is like unheard of. And we love to embellish like back in the day. I tell back in the day stories, but mine are true. I tell my kids, y'all complaining about having to walk a mile and a half to school. I walk 2.5 miles to football practice after school every day. Right, that's true. That's true. Social media, though, man, in this day and age, it's crazy. It's crazy. And I feel bad for coaches. I feel bad for Marone, and I feel bad for because now they also have to deal with the social media aspect. They have to deal with the social media aspect of every single thing that either one of their players do or does. is under a microscope, and they're going to have to answer a question for it. So it works multiple ways. It works multiple ways. So that question that I asked at the top about what do the Jaguars do going forward, and if Shad Khan has asked that question, and I hear people saying this is the time we need to hear from Shad. You don't need to hear from the owner. You don't. But I'd love to hear from Tom Coughlin. I'd love to hear from Doug Marrone. And the things that you've heard from Doug Marrone and Todd Wash, it doesn't seem like they actually have a problem with Jalen if we take people literally for what they say. In fact, Todd Wash was gushing over him. It's almost like Todd Wash yesterday was saying, I wish I had 11 of them. I wish I had 11 guys like that. Make no mistake about it. It makes your job easier when you have very, very talented players that play with a chip on their shoulder. It makes it much easier than having a whole bunch of nice guys. You know what nice guys do? Real nice guys. I'm not just talking about nice guys who can play. I'm talking about nice guys that can't play. Good people. Hard-working overachievers. That's all Gene Smith built. Y'all got so mad at Gene Smith the way he built this roster with all of those guys from Stony Creek or Stone Mountain or wherever he was going. And he got overachievers that kind of fit into his mold. And as fans, do you want somebody who fights back just like you? Really? Do you want somebody that fights back just like you? I think the answer is yes. I absolutely believe that the answer is yes. But I don't want to speak for nobody else. I'm just speaking for me. This is how I'm yoked. This is just the way I feel. Ain't nothing new under the sun. Players come and players go. And as we know around here, coaches come, coaches go, and GMs come and GMs go. It's a shame that you have to choose sides. But the thing is watching that press conference yesterday, I don't see how this is fixable. It wouldn't surprise me if Shad said trade Jalen and then at the end of the year runs off everybody that traded him and has a slew of draft picks for the next guy or the next crew that's going to come in here and say, we want you to start all the way over. We want you to forget about everything. My question is, how do you feel about another rebuild? Because if they trade Jalen Ramsey, that's exactly what you're going to have. I'm going to explain exactly how you're going to have a rebuild and exactly what I'm talking about in just a second. I know Jaguar fans just want their team to get right. Get right. What if in your personal life you need to get right? What if your wife or your significant other is telling you as a man you need to get right? Well, the way you do that is you go to Blue Chew. That's right. I tried Blue Chew the other night, and I'll just say this. Man, oh, man, oh, man. And I can't tell you what my significant other said. Now, this isn't. It's not just for guys who can't perform. If you're just a guy who wants that extra function to enhance your performance in the bedroom, then you need to check out Blue Chew. Blue Chew, that's right. Right now, they've got a special offer for our listeners. Visit BlueChew.com and get your first shipment free when you use a special promo code Locked On. Just pay $5 for shipping. That's right. It's Blue, B-L-U-E, Chew.com. Promo code Locked On. Blue Chew is better, cheaper, and faster. And we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. All right, folks. Welcome back to Locked On Jaguars. When I suggest that what the Jaguars are going to be facing is a rebuild, I've gotten some pushback from people on that, but I'll go through right now and explain to you why I say it's a rebuild. Okay, so they built it starting in 2013 or 14 when Caldwell took over, and everyone talks about how bad of a draft that first draft was. I disagree. When you pick a left tackle early on in Luke Jokel, when you look up and you see guys like David Bakhtiari and Lane Johnson, who were picked, looking like they're going to have very long careers. Bakhtiari might be a Hall of Famer, you know, because of the attention he gets for protecting Aaron Rodgers. We'll see about that. When you go around and look at DeAndre Hopkins and other guys and Le'Veon Bell and all of these players, and you say it wasn't that bad of a draft. All you got to do is look at the free agency class from a couple of years ago. Is when those guys came up free agency, how many of those guys, Kevin Zeitler and all those guys, got signed somewhere else? So, you know, the Jaguars just 3 years later didn't have any of those guys on their team. 3 or 4 years later, didn't have any of those guys on the team. Then you look at the second one, the second draft. So after like the second draft, I think coming into that third year or at that third year point, Dave Caldwell said it's built. They had three draft classes or two draft classes, two free agency periods. Whenever he said it was built, they went out and had an atrocious season. It wasn't until the following year when Tom Coughlin came in and Doug Marrone came in and they had run off Gus Bradley at the end of the other season that things started to change and turn around. They looked better. They had hungry guys. I recall Tom Coughlin says, I want guys. Now, this is very, very important. I want guys that compete for everything. I want guys who fight for lunch. Sounds like he wants guys that when they tell a coach to challenge something, the coach challenges it. Sounds like he wants guys that says, when I want to play man-to-man against this guy, that's what I want. I want to play man-to-man against this guy. I don't care about – look, when you hear Todd Wash say, we got cute, we were playing quarters instead of playing cover three, which is who we are. I don't care that Kansas City is explosive. If you're good on defense – then it's mono amount. Let's do it. Bump them. Let's do it. But you're going to sit back and let them chew you up and spit you out all day. You're going to lose. That's like conceding that, oh, they're too good for us to match up with them. Really? Okay. Then you don't believe you're as good as the team that you supposedly built that was ready to go. So they rebuilt this whole thing the second time. They changed it around. They got some guys in free agency, Calais Campbell. They got rid of some guys like Dante Fowler. They got Colvin out, DJ, all of this stuff. And even before that, they got rid of those guys. They made a run at the AFC Championship game. So let's go back to January or December, January of 2017, when it looked like this team was young, ready to make a run. They just probably needed to add a quarterback. So you add a quarterback this year, and you're going to get back to 2017 because you got this defense, you got this new quarterback, right? Quarterback goes down, lo and behold, you get another guy who steps in, and he plays pretty well the first 2 weeks, so all optimism in that respect isn't lost. You get a new offensive coordinator, you got receivers that are now fast and explosive, and they're developing. What do you know? You start out 0-2, and now you're going to trade Jalen Ramsey, potentially trade Jalen Ramsey, and you're going to get a haul of draft picks. Let me tell you what that means for next year, okay? We'll start on offense. Has Kevin Norwell been worth what they're paying him? No. He's probably out of here. And the way his salary is structured or his contract is structured, it probably won't hurt the team. Has Brandon Linder lived up to his contract? Probably not. And you keep hearing people say, he's probably gone. All right? AJ Cann is likely going to be replaced very soon with Will Richardson at right guard. You got a rookie right tackle, and you got a third-year left tackle in Cam Robinson. All right? So when you look at the team from that perspective, you got one guy potentially that was here then in 2017 that's going to still be here, and that's Cam Robinson. You got two other guys that weren't here, and then you got two guys. Norwell wasn't even here in 2017, by the way. So we'll just say if he's not here, and then Linder's gone. So now you got a new offensive line. How many of the wide receivers do you anticipate being here next year that were here in 2017? Marquise Lee likely won't be because of his salary. Keelan Cole probably will still be, but if he is, it's just in a diminished role. The other three guys weren't here. Was Didi here? I don't think so, but if he was, he'd be the one. Chark wasn't here and Conley wasn't here. Neither one of the quarterbacks on the roster was here. And most people believe that Fournette will be gone. I think Shaughnessy was probably here. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. But people think they'll move on from Fournette. So now you got maybe at best, you got three guys from 2017 on offense. Let's go to defense. People are saying Calais Campbell's going to be a casualty because of his salary, because of the way they seem to draft, especially with Taven Bryan and Josh Allen. So let's assume he's not here. Yon's a free agent. Do you franchise tag him? Do you let him test the market? Do you trade him with a tag? There's a potential chance he won't be here, so I'll give you half on that. Miles is still here. Telvin isn't. Colvin was your nickel. Hayden's here now. Probably won't be here next year. If you trade Ramsey, he's gone. AJ Bouye was your other corner. With his $15 million salary, unless he's restructured, he'll probably be gone, especially if you like Trey Herndon as much as you say. Gibson and Church, where your safeties, they're both gone. See what I'm talking about? That's 2.5 people still on this defense. So you got 2.5 starters on defense, 3 on offense, at best 4. You don't think 2020 is going to be a rebuild for this team, you're foolish. Now, it won't be a butt-naked strip-everything-down rebuild, but it'll still be a rebuild. You got 5 starters from a team that went to the championship game. Don't tell me it's not a high turnover. It is. The entire complexion of this team will change. The question is, and I go back to the beginning of the show, how much of a haircut do you get? Do you just get a fade on the side? Do you get a trim? Or do you get a buzz cut? That's what Shad Khan has to answer for Jaguars now, especially if they lose Thursday. You go 13% of the teams that have gone 0-2 have made it to the playoffs. That percentage goes down considerably when you think of about an 0-3 team, especially one with the rookie quarterback, no matter how well he's played. The big question is, what does Shad Khan do? How does he feel today? Coaches come and coaches go. Long after Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone are gone, Jalen Ramsey will probably still be going to Pro Bowls. But you have to wonder at this point if it's even still all worth it. And a lot of that has to do with the way Jalen has decided to conduct himself in order to secure the bag in the future the way he wants to secure it. He's not without fault in all of this. The thing is though, are you going to say it's somebody's fault when they don't care as long as they get what they want? At the end of the day, if he gets what he wants, regardless of what that is, if it's staying with a new regime, if it's them kissing his butt a little bit more, or if he moves on to another team, there's always somebody out there willing to take on a guy like Jalen Ramsey, just like they were willing to put up with Lawrence Taylor, just like they were willing to put up with Charles Haley. And I'm not just naming these guys because they were great players. There were lesser players, too, the teams would put up with. There's a guy right now that a team put up with that kicked his girlfriend down the stairs. You know, not saying it's right or it's wrong, but what I'm saying is there's nothing new under the sun, not even tough decisions. And those are the things that the Jacksonville Jaguars have to figure out. It's T-Wig with Locked On Jaguars.